It appears that new solutions are needed to protect our future biodiversity. In some new research, Associate Professor Andrew McGregor has found that the world's growing middle class could change the global human diet in ways that will reduce our resources and space. Roderick Chambers spoke to Andrew McGregor from the School of Social Sciences at Macquarie University and asked what the research revealed.
We've reached 8 billion people, which is like a huge achievement in some ways, but very unbalanced in terms of where that growth is occurring and where it's not occurring. So what we generally find is as countries become more wealthy, they tend to slow down in their amount of children that are being born in those countries. People are living longer, so population tends to grow. What we're seeing in poorer countries, though, is population growth is a bit higher, partly because really good news, which is seeing that people are living longer, life expectancy is increasing, but they're still having a higher number of children, which means that overall population growth is increasing much quicker. And then there are countries like Japan, which has low migration, low reproduction rate, which is leading to decreases in the population there. So we're seeing very uneven patterns around the world, but very much, very closely related to wealth and inequality of wealth around the world, I guess, shaping those patterns.
Is the change in population and the increases one of the elements that are affecting the climate change and global warming, that, you know, there's more people and less space for carbon-containing forests and that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I look at is food and food supply and food systems. And there's two things there in terms of climate change. One is, yes, we have more people. That means there's more people to feed. And until we get more renewable technology, that means more fossil fuels will be burnt, leading to climate issues in terms of the transport of that food, as well as the production of that food in terms of pesticides and fertilizers and things like that. The second one is that we need increasing land, I guess, to feed people. However, it's not a simple connection between population and the land required or the food required. It's actually population and wealth. So it's not just that it's as we get an expanding middle class in places like Asia and Latin America, parts of Africa, they're changing their diet. So they want more diverse foods, often much more meat in their diet than they've had in the past. And things like meat animal agriculture have a much bigger footprint. So the amount of land required to grow cattle, for example, is far more than it is required to grow crops.
Even fish farming has its own problems.
I mean, all of them do. Fish farms have their problems. Pig farms are pretty interesting these days. I think if you think about a pig farm, you think about pigs, you know, rolling around on straw. It's not quite like that anymore. There's the biggest pig farm in the world was announced recently in China. It has 84,000 pigs in it. So, there's a lot of fossil fuels required to sort of run an operation like that.
So it's the middle classes to blame, is that right?
I don't think it's so much the middle classes to blame. It's, certainly wouldn't want to put the blame on the middle classes emerging in the global south. I think in Australia, for example, or in the global north, we consume far more food and far more meat. Like, we have one of the highest meat-consuming populations in the world here in Australia. So what we need is more balance within the food system. So getting the nutrition to the poorer communities, and absolutely that needs to be meat or can be meat in some cases. But what we really need is to get a more balance into our own diets here in Australia so there's more food to go around. It's just incredibly unbalanced at the moment. So there's been a study by Eat Lancet Commission looking at the planetary health diet, and they've suggested very, very small proportions of meat, if any at all. They've also suggested that we need to improve our production processes, so sharing production processes like the growing of food so it's more efficient in the global south. And the third plank of that is to reduce waste. So we have huge amounts of waste, particularly in the global north, at all stages of the food production system. So rather than blaming the middle classes, it's those sorts of things. Let's change our diets, let's grow better, and let's reduce waste. And then there'll be more than enough food to go around.
Another issue is that we're losing a lot of the natural forested areas of the globe, and I suppose under the seas as well, similar sorts of issues would arise. And it means that we don't have the biodiversity sometimes where a lot of great leaps forward in science has happened.
The biggest driver of deforestation is agriculture, there's no doubt about that, and animal agriculture in particular. It's a global crisis alongside climate change. Forests are important for so many reasons. You're right, they're important for scientific discovery. They're also important for the animals and creatures that live within them. They're also important as a carbon sequestration, you know, sucking down carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. So, you know, that's why there's been so much alarm about places like the Amazon being cut down, all the ecosystem services forests provide. But what a lot of people don't realise is that Australia itself is a deforestation hotspot. We're cutting down trees here that just shouldn't be happening. We cut down trees in more than any other country in the global north.
Andrew McGregor from the School of Social Sciences at Macquarie University speaking with Rod Chambers there.